insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
We'll start at verse number 4. And before we do that, let me just ask, if you're visiting with us for the first time, you don't have to stand. Just raise your hand. We want to acknowledge you. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, God bless you, sir. Amen. Thank God for you being with us. Amen. Can y'all give him a better hand clap? Amen. Amen. Preferably, they gave you a card to fill out. Amen. He's a sharp brother. Amen. Glad to have him here with us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse number 4. Kentonia, would you take that to the back for me? Thank you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Skip down to verse 13, please. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now we know, as the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, amen, and know that we do have a nursery in the back. If we go too far, let's just take them to the nursery. He writes to the church in Corinth concerning love. And he says that the greatest of these three virtues, hope, faith, and love, that love is the greatest. Hallelujah. I want to minister this morning from the thought, or the title rather, extravagant love. Extravagant love. When we think about the word extravagant, there's some things that come to mind. What comes to mind when you hear the word extravagant? Big, luxurious. Some of the definition says uncalled for, undue. Anybody ever seen something and you say, now that's just uncalled for? While we were in Trinidad, the church we preached at was Covenant City Church. I believe the name of the city was Gasparilla. But after the service was over, we rode with a gentleman who's the associate pastor there, but he's also a part of the parliament in the nation of Trinidad. And he had a brand new Range Rover. Now, this Range Rover had orange leather interior, screens on the back of the chairs, brand new. You could smell the orange leather. I actually felt a little bad ride, didn't it? Because right outside the church was so much poverty. Now, it's not that man's fault that there was poverty in the city. I don't know what type of giver he is, but all I know is I'm riding in the Range Rover. And it seems extravagant. I want you to know this morning that God has an extravagant love for us. His love is unwarranted, undue, big, luxurious. It's extravagant. When you think about the fact that Paul says that out of all these things, faith, hope, the greatest of these is love. You know the different types of love in the Greek. The New Testament is written in Greek. One of the types of love is the love we know as Eros love, which is more of an erotic love, a sexual love, if you will, that should take place between two married people. Notice I said should take place, because sometimes people don't wait. But it should take place between married people. That is Eros love. Then we know philia, which is a friendship love, the love between friends. Then this is a new one to us, but I've studied it before, the word ludos, which is a playful type love. It's the type love that you have when you're flirting with someone before you get married. How many of you married people know that sometime we should go back to ludos? Because you can forget about that type of love once you get married, and the marriage can turn cold. That should be some ludos in the marriage. Then you have what's known as pragma. Pragma is long-term love. In other words, no matter what happens in the relationship, I'm still going to love you. Because love should not fall out. You've heard people say, well, I fell out with my sister, I fell out with my neighbor, I fell out with my mom and my dad. No, that should be some pragma love. Thank you, ushers. That long-term love. Then you have what's called fellatio love. I looked at fellatio and I said, I wonder if that's where fellatio comes from. But that's the kind of love that you have, that self-love. How many of us know you can't really love somebody else if you don't love yourself? Typically, people who don't love themselves, it's hard for them to release love to other people because they're not conditioned or they're not full in God's love for them. It's not a narcissistic love to where it's all about you. It's just that you appreciate who you are and you like you. How many of you like you? You should like yourself. Amen. Because if you don't like you and you don't love you, all it takes is an individual inspired by the devil to come by and tell you a bunch of foolishness and lead you down the wrong path. Many a woman has become a prostitute or got pimped out. Can I say that in the pulpit? Pimped out. Can go through all these things because they lack fellatio, or fellatio. That love that they know that they're valued by God, they're valued by their parents, they're valued by somebody, they have an understanding that they love themselves. But then there's the love that we're talking about here in this New Testament text, which is the Greek word, y'all know it, agape. And agape is that sacrificial love. It's that divine love. It's that unconditional love that God has for us and that he expects us to have for one another. So when we look at extravagant love, first we must see that God's love for us is extravagant. In Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, he says, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Would you repeat after me? Say, God loves me with an everlasting love. What that means is, good or bad, God still loves you. Sin or righteousness, God still loves you. How can I say that? Because to Jeremiah, he gave the revelation that his love is everlasting. Another word for everlasting is eternal. His love for us is not conditioned to how we behave. Now, his rewards are, but not his love. Because how many of you know, even in rearing our own children, their behavior can determine what rewards they'll get. But their behavior does not stop or should not stop our love for them. Because our love should be unconditional. That's my child. Amen, somebody. And how many know you can't deny your child? They look like you. Some of the stuff they're doing is because of you. Somebody say amen. We might not admit it, but some stuff kids do, you did. I did. So you have to look at them and say, I love you. Because that's just you in them. But God's love is everlasting. His love is, turn it down, extravagant. It's big. We cannot measure the love God has for us. Say, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. See, when you know the love of God, you're not so interested or captivated by the love of people. Because when we don't know God's love, we become performers for other people. I'm performing for your love. But when you know God and you know the love he has for you, you don't have to perform for nobody. You're happy with who you are. Because I know God loves me no matter what. Good or bad, rich or poor. See, those vows came out of understanding who God is. The marriage vows. He loves us with an extravagant love. It's everlasting. Number two, in John chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Turn me down on the monitors, please. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God's love for us is extravagant, there's action in his love. See, when somebody say they love you, but there's no action, you have to question the love. God gave his son. He said, I love the world so much. And see, you have to understand, when we look at that word love, it's in the Greek, the word cosmos. Now, it means the arrangement of the world, but it also means the people that are in the world. How many of you know that we have not always been lovable? Let me explain. We have not always been similar to the character of God. Has anyone in here ever sinned before? Has anyone ever sinned more than once? 10 times, 20, 100. We can keep on counting. But God loved us regardless. Because he has an extravagant love. He has a love that's so big. It overlooks sin and say, you know what? You're mine. I love you. See, that's why we can't really fathom love. The more we grow in God, the more we grow in love. To really mature, it's not the signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts you perform. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talked about the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains how the gifts are great, but better than the gifts is love. And in fact, all you are a sounding cymbal or a brass. You're just making noise if your character is not full of love as you're performing the gifts. So it's not how we perform. It's not what we can do, our abilities. It's really what character is moving in us, and it should be the agape love of God. His love for us is extravagant. Number one, because it's everlasting. Number two, because he displayed action. He gave his son. Tell somebody, he gave his son for me. Look to them and say, he gave his son for me. He gave what was precious for all of us. Number three, God's love for us is extravagant because in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Understand this. God's love for us is unconditional. See, when we know it's everlasting, that means he's going to love us forever. We understand that his action means that he gave something to demonstrate his love. But lastly, when we know it's unconditional, that means that even when we're in sin, God still loves us. So once we understand that God's love for us is extravagant, how many of you know we must have extravagant love for God?